It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Well, we feel like we've played every game under difficult circumstances. We played like it matters. You know, it still matters to us, which isn't easy when you're in our situation. And you know you're not making the playoffs. You know your season's ending in a week. And we've done a really good job of playing like it matters and we care. And I thought that slipped a little bit in our last game. So, you know, good news is if, you know, every team doesn't play 82 great games. Every team has nights where they struggle and they don't have it, you know. And when your whole team struggles the way we did, you know, there might be a reason for it. And I'm certainly anticipating a much better performance tonight.
All right, what's happening, everybody? That is Sharks head coach David Quinn speaking earlier today with the media ahead of tonight's game against Seattle, which is at 7:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 7 o'clock pregame right here, sjsharks.com/listen, or you can go to the app and click live. But yeah, I think he's got a point there. Not all 82 games are going to be great, and for the Sharks, more than would be ideally looked upon have been not great. But, you know, I do think the Sharks have done a pretty decent job here handling everything that's come their way and dealing with some very tough circumstances that they've had to deal with, not just since the deadline, but over the entirety of the year. So, yeah, I am expecting them to have a bit of a bounce-back performance, and going into Seattle has not gone well for them this year, so I am curious to see what type of a performance they do have against the Kraken tonight. Another one from David Quinn here before we're joined by Sheng Peng. David Quinn was asked about Thomas Bordalo, what he's seen from him lately, even though his offensive production may have dropped off a little bit.
Well, I like his game. I know maybe he's not getting rewarded statistically like he was earlier, but, you know, the thing I really like about him is every now and then, you know, forcing offense creeps into his game like it does with every player. It's not just him. I mean, every player who has been productive offensively wants to create offense. And when it's not happening, you know, there's a level of frustration and they try to do too much. And all of a sudden the game's taken a setback. But the thing I like about his game is that, you know, the few shifts that might happen, he kind of corrals it back and he starts playing with the right intentions and plays the right way after going through what a lot of players do. It's not just young players, it's older players that have been productive offensively. And, you know, I think he's done a really good job of managing his game, and I give him a lot of credit for it.
And Quinn was also asked about Luke Cunningham being linked to Team USA for this summer's Worlds.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. You know, we've been talking about it for about a couple weeks here, and it's a great opportunity for him, you know, with the World Cup around the corner and the Olympics. I think we're going to get a lot more yeses than we have over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, from the names I see that have already committed, it's going to be a predominantly an NHL team, which we haven't had over the last 5, 6 years in the tournament, or really for a long time. You know, usually you got NHL players, but you got American leaguers and college players sprinkled in. So, you know, from a talent perspective, you know, this might be our best team yet.
All right, moving right along. We are now joined, like I promised, by Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. Sheng, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Just wrapping up the season here.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's the question right now is that what are you looking for in these final now 4 games of the season?
The same thing every year. Just look for players, look for hope, look for the kind of guys that might be around when the team is good again, or at least the kind of players that can help bring the team out of this.
Is Klim Kostin one of those players?
I don't know. I think it's very easy to be look at the points totals end of the season. Also, he spent a lot of time with the Sharks' best centerman and Mikael Granlund, who's made all of his line mates better this season. Mm-hmm. And just assume that this guy is going to be, I guess, a big part of it. But no, I'm not sure about it. I think that David Quinn has mentioned this, that Kleem has a little bit to improve in terms of just being not that he's out of shape or anything like that, but just a little bit, lighter, a little bit of that. And if he shows that this summer, that's a guy that you want to keep around then, right? Because that's a guy that has a commitment to his training, to making himself better and therefore the team better. And if he doesn't do that, then that kind of shows, okay, this is a guy that maybe is a little more going off of his sort of natural ability, which he does have a lot of as a 2017 first round pick. But yeah, no, I'm not convinced that he's necessarily a guy that is going to be here in a couple of years. Hope so. There are some flashes. I'm not trying to take that away from him. He's shown some good stuff, but I just don't want to get too carried away just because the guy has shown a few good games at the end of the season.
One of the things that I pay attention to with him, and it was actually by way of a quote from Tomas Hertl when he got to Vegas, he said, "I'm used to being one of, if not the tallest guy in the Sharks dressing room, and that changed here." And so when I see the size and the style of a Kleem Kostin, that makes me think that, he clearly has something that Mike Greer is looking for.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure, he's got sort of the tools for that, right? But don't forget though, the Sharks have a guy like say a Luke Cunnan, right, who is not necessarily in terms of size anything like that, but has sort of that heart of a lion, which is I think the core of more of what Mike is looking for. That someone that plays with that kind of heart, that plays bigger than who he is. I think people get too caught up with, just strict size. But you can play much bigger than you are and be a part of a winning team, like a guy like Luke has been in the past. And so I think that's a little more of what Mike is looking for. Obviously, if Luke again, I'm sorry, if Kleem, like I mentioned, shows that commitment to his training. And plays with a little bit of that sort of that persistence that a Cunning plays with, or guys like Nico Sturm or something like that. Then yeah, then maybe he will indeed be a part of the Sharks, I guess, build in the coming years.
What have your thoughts on Luke Cunnan been all year long? Because I know the knock on him is maybe his lack of production versus what he was acquired to be, which I take into account the fact that he was coming back from a major knee injury. And even if his, skill set was not where it was when he went down with that injury the previous year, that, like you alluded to, the heart of a lion and his leadership capabilities have really lifted the team at times. But it seems like lately he's looked more and more like the player that we remember before the knee injury. And something I talk about, Shang, is like getting recovered and healthy from an injury does not automatically equate to you being the player you were before the injury. Like, it takes time.
It does. With Luke, I think I've held a fairly consistent opinion. I'm not too moved necessarily by what he's done recently because I think that he's always had that capability. He always has had kind of multiple strengths, and he also has weaknesses too. There's a reason why he's not higher up in the lineup on a better team, but in terms of just that sort of drag you into that fight mentality, physicality, willing to fight, can kill penalties. You can play him net front on a power play too. He won't hurt you too much there. And given a chance, he can finish a little bit too. That's a very, very valuable player when you take everything together. In terms of the finishing, I know that hasn't been as great as people had hoped, and for the money he makes, which I understand. But he's also led a team in posts this year too, I think, crossbars and posts. So if a couple of those go in, maybe people's opinion is different. But I've always liked the player. I've always thought that was a player that you want around. And yes, again, once again, you can't ignore salary cap figure, AAV, this day and age, but the Sharks can't afford to overpay a player that brings a lot of things to the table, and a lot of different things to the table. And of course, he is a pending RFA. But yeah, I'd be shocked if the Sharks didn't bring him back.
We talk about what the Sharks can afford, and they have a lot of cap space coming up this summer. I know that Mike Greer said this team was worse than they expected. And, you know, there's a number of reasons for that. I would point to injuries first and foremost, but that's, you know, only telling part of the story. They have a lot of cap space this summer. Do you expect all of that to be taking on bad contracts in the quest to acquire draft capital? Or do you think that they're going to bring in some more guys of, you know, a cunning styling to see if they can improve this team and get things going in the right direction? Not to say that they'll be in contention, but just not another season that I would say in quotes like this.
Well, personally, I hope, and my guess is that they would bring in more players of a cunning style. You're trying to, you know, build a team. You know, Mike talks about wanting to build a hard to play against, fast, the skill team, right? Mm-hmm. That skill part, of course, is the hardest thing to acquire. And that one you may have to end up doing through the draft. And so that means that it'll take a while to make the Sharks team as skilled as possible. But there, you should be able to build a hard to play against team. That's something that you can immediately do. It doesn't really matter if that team is the most skilled or not, or if it's going to win a lot of games. But you should be able to build a more competitive, hard to play against team than the Sharks have been this year. And so I think that I think maybe we talked about this last our last interview, that I think that the Sharks may have over focused on getting guys that could get in draft capital this past off season, mm-hmm. instead of guys that are just simply harder to play against. It might be the difference of, instead of losing 7-2, you lose 4-2. Mm-hmm. You're still going to lose the game. I get that, but I think that in terms of just for the fans to watch, it's a better product to watch if games are closer. Right. And I think also too, really, really important that I think it's discounted too, is that you want to have a positive environment for guys like William Eklund to play in, Thomas Bortolo, Will Smith, if he comes over, whoever they have up, young players they have up next year. You want to insulate them, protect them, support them a little bit. And if your team isn't that competitive, and you're getting just kind of, you're getting beaten, that's just not a positive environment, I think. And I think that that's like kind of the least that you can do in this rebuild.
I was thinking about that when both William Eklund and Thomas Bortolo spoke after the game on Tuesday night, Shang, and I don't know if you noticed this too, but, you know, I think before there's been a little bit more of a positivity from the two of them, but I know that Bortolo said that he was pissed that he couldn't do more on the power play, and that was a bit more forceful language than he's used in the past. And, you know, William Eklund, I think he's been very honest, and maybe a little bit too honest with, you know, his disappointment after some of the games, but he looked like he was a little bit more, not, I won't say on edge, but just more, I guess, upset with the loss the other night. And I'm wondering if that's part of it too, though, that you need these younger guys to kind of be sick of losing.
Yeah, you definitely need that too. And you want guys around them who are sick of losing too. And so that's part of what I'm saying of adding players that will be sick of losing, and who kind of help instill that attitude or kind of support that attitude in younger players. I would say with William, one thing I would say though is that I think William has shown a lot of mental toughness this year, and I think he's been down after a lot of losses. Actually, I don't know if I in particular the loss to was it the Calgary game, but I don't know if in particular that was any tougher than, you mm-hmm. know, there's the Chicago on the road game that he was really broken up about. It's just for example, that was around midseason. And anyway, I think he's shown a lot of mental toughness, and I think that David Quinn says this, but I think coaches say this in general, that, you know, adversity can really shape you and you can really grow from it. And I see William as a type of person that will grow from this and has the mental toughness to kind of go through this season and still be developing and still be improving his game. Obviously, I think he has like 11 points in his last 10 games or something like that since he got mm-hmm. moved back from center to wing. So he's a guy that's game is obviously still growing through very, very difficult circumstances this year. He's been here all season too, unlike a lot of the younger players on the Sharks. He's been here from day one. And so I think it's been really, really tough season. I actually remember a conversation I had with him about midseason, and he kind of said that, yeah, like this season wasn't as tough in a way because he's already had his worst moment in hockey, which he said was when his hometown team, Djurgården, that he was playing on, was relegated from SHL to Allsvenskan while he was still playing for them. And that was his lowest low in hockey so far. And so, that adversity maybe has made him able to kind of handle this adversity a little better. And I think it'll mold him into a better player in the future.
How big is the acquisition of Colin Graf in your mind?
I think it's I think for any team, there's a reason why so many teams are after him because it's a free addition to your talent pool. You don't have to use a draft pick on him. Obviously, you have to pay him, but in terms of for an AHL team, it's an addition of a prospect, another shot kind of. So it's basically just getting like another draft pick, for kind of for no cost kind of in a way. And so I don't want to oversell it. I think Colin, as we've seen in his game, he's good with the puck. He can make some plays, but he also needs to work on his strength still. He's still a bit light. Obviously his skating and quickness too. Like, I would say at this moment right now, I don't know if I would pencil him into the Sharks lineup next year. I think maybe he can use some time with the Barracuda. Maybe he has a great summer, and so that'll make my point moot. But at this moment, though, I think that there are still some things to work on. I think that for a Sharks team, that you just want to acquire as many kind of shots as possible of good NHL players. And I think it's telling, actually. People I talk to would put Graf in maybe the not quite in the top 10 Sharks prospects, but that's no discredit to Graf. Graf is a good talent. Another guy who's in that category I just was watching last night, Jack Thompson, acquired in the Anthony Duclair trade. And I bring him up in relation to Graf because Thompson is another guy who wouldn't quite make I think a lot of people's Sharks top 10 prospects list. But I looking at list when Thompson was acquired, I think he was like fifth or fourth on the Athletics Tampa Bay Lightning's prospects, top 10 prospects list. So that tells you a little bit of just how far the Sharks system has come. That a guy that is, and granted, the Lightning, they're perennial contenders, they trade draft picks away like candy. And so, of course, there's a reason why their system isn't as deep. They have a couple of championships to show for it too recently. But still, though, it's a good indication of how far the Sharks system has come that a guy that might be considered 11 through 15 in the Sharks top 10 prospects, is top five for another team. And anyway, for the Sharks, as they move forward, you want as many good, talented shots, not just these long shots, but these very good, talented guys like Graf and Thompson that have legitimate NHL abilities, but obviously have things to iron out in their game. If they do iron out these things in their game, then you have guys that could potentially be important contributors to a winning playoff team. Maybe not your best player, maybe not your best defenseman, but there's obviously a lot of space on a good team from the very top of the pyramid to the middle of it. And so maybe Graf and a guy like Thompson and other guys, Ethan Cardwell had a great game last night. Those are guys that maybe can fit in right there.
Shing, I know you've got a busy day, so I will let you go, but I appreciate your time as always, and I'll see you soon. All right, man.
Yep. See you, man. Thank you.
Again, that is Shing Pang of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network as we take a look at tonight's lineup. Looks like Carpenter is going to be back into the lineup, and we're also going to see Devin Cooley get another start. So I would like to see another strong performance in front of Cooley as the Sharks look to try and close out the season with pride and with high quality play. And I think part of that will go into, just being good in front of Cooley, a guy who does not have much NHL experience, who's had some good performances up here at the NHL level. But obviously, the team needs to support him. Obviously, Devin needs to make the stops, but it's on the team to also play good games around him, good team defense. So I'll be looking forward to that as well. But we are just about out of time. Remember to join us at 7:30 7:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose and Seattle do battle. Pre-game coverage live starts at 7 o'clock. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.
St. Louis moves back to the Sharks line. Randlin with the check, far side of the ice. Knocked it free. Can Zetterlund get it? No, but the Blues get it. Pirates underneath the D. Could be trouble here. He moves in front. He shoots. What a save by Cooley in overtime with a minute 17 left. Pressure save by the rookie from Los Gatos. And it keeps the score 2-2.